Emmanuel. I think that's our testimony for the year. God is with us. So good. So good. So much for us to be grateful for this year. And we are having our Pugmani celebration. So that's on Wednesday evening, and I'm sure Wednesday evening we'll get to hear some of your personal testimonies what God has done for you in this year. We are a church that are on a journey. Yes? We're on a journey?
Yes.
We're on a journey. And as I was preparing this, it made me think about walking around Jericho. Sometimes we have to walk around. There's two different kinds of walking around. There's walking around because we don't know what we're doing. But there's another kind of walking around, but you're walking around based on the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's much different. That's much different. Because then God is with you.
Yeah.
God is with you. You know, Abraham set out, and he didn't really know where he was going. But he knew he had to go. And so when we think about the story of Joshua, and so I would like us to read that, Joshua chapter 6, if you could show that to Josh, if you could show the scriptures, from verse 1 to 11, yeah. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its kings, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one last blast of the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priest and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant. Assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with the horns and some behind the ark, with the priest continually blowing the horn. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day. And then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. We will stop there. We are so familiar with this story, aren't we? About the walls of Jericho. But just picture yourself being part of this group. Just picture it. So strong the word of the Lord came to Joshua. He says, I have given you Jericho. Past tense. The Lord says he'd already given it to them. Yet they had to take the possession. There were things they had to do. Notice all the instruction that the Lord gave to Joshua were natural things that they could do. God didn't tell them to do something supernatural. He told them to do something natural that was within their ability to do. Did they have legs to walk around? Yes. Did they have the shofars to blow? Yes. Did they have the Ark of Covenant to take with them? Yes. Did they have the priests that they could assign? Yes. Did they have the people? Did they know the way around? Yes. These were all natural things. Some people may say, this is a bit silly, this. You're walking around in circles, what are we doing? But everything that God commanded for them to do, they were able to do. It was all things they had the ability to do. God tells you to do things that you are able to do. And what happens when you do it? God will do the supernatural, which you are not able to do, which I'm not able to do. God does the supernatural if we do the natural that he tells us. If we are obedient and we do what he tells us. This is what this, such a powerful story. I have given you Jericho. What has God said to us as a church? God has said, I have given you Livingston. God says it's already done, but we have to take it. We have to take it, we have to follow our instruction, what God has told us, each of us individually and together as a church. We have to take Livingston. We go out, we are now, so I think we want to really celebrate. This is the year where we brought worship to the streets. But we brought the good news out on the streets to the center of Livingston. Yes. Because it's powerful. The word of God is so powerful. Amen. Worshiping the Lord is so powerful. These are things that we can do. God says, I've given you Livingston. But we still to exercise and go and do the things that he has called us to do. Individually. And as a group of believers, praise God. Amen. As we do the natural, he does the supernatural. As you tell somebody, we were out there on the 20th of December, and of course, everybody just loved the Christmas carols, and lots of people stopped to hear. Sammy was with us, and she's singing the Christmas carols, and it was like a magnet, wasn't it? And people are coming to hear. It gave us opportunity to say to people a Merry Christmas and say, this is about Jesus coming. But do you know why he came? People are like, oh. No, why did he come? He came to pay the price for our sin. So profound to be able to tell people, he came to pay the price for my sin and for your sin. Wow, that is a revelation to every heart, to get that revelation why Jesus came. So God has said to us, as a body of believer, I've given you Livingston, and it's for us to take it. It's for us to take all the steps, to go everywhere where he tells us. Now each assignment is unique and different. It's how God works. When you read the book of Joshua, you'll see that every time that they took, it was a different strategy and a different circumstance. That's how God works. It's not a copy and paste. God is not a copy and paste God in that, you know, he likes to do it the same old one. Oh, we're just, if you look around, every one of us, he's made us different. And so each of us, our assignments are slightly different. Billions of people, and he's never made two the same. Come on. Those that study the snowflakes, even the snowflakes are not the same. What a God we have. And so, don't be surprised that each assignment and each journey, it will be different. But there will be directions that God gives us. Now, how many times do they walk around? Everybody says seven, but when I read it, I get to 13. Do you get 13 when you actually read it? We read it because for the first 6 days they walked around once, so that's six times, and on the seventh day they walked seven times, so you get 6 plus 7, 13. But we always talk about seven times, but actually it's 13. What's the point? Walking around 13 times is a lot of times. And when you walk around, which number am I right now? Is this five or is this six? You can easily lose track, right? It's a lot of times to walk around. Now, in this case, Joshua told them, just be quiet. You wonder, did he tell them to be quiet in case they would start to say, "What? Why are we doing this? How many times have we walked around now? This is awful silly." It might seem silly, but there was the instruction of the Lord. There was no military sense in walking around the way they did, because the enemy was on the top of the wall and they are walking around and they're actually making themselves an easy target. If you can picture it, you know, they used to have these big walls around the towns to keep them safe with the gates shut. And so they are walking around and they're making themselves an easy target. I mean, it just, militarily speaking, doesn't make any sense. And they're just walking around. The folks of Jericho must have wondered, what are they up to? Except the folks of Jericho, they feared their God. They feared the God of Israel because they had heard what he had done. So they feared the God of Israel. So they didn't actually touch them. But they must have felt quite exposed walking around. Just walking. Just walking. There was a sense of helplessness. There was a sense of being totally reliant on God. Because in the natural, walking around, they could have worn away a big hole around the town and the walls still wouldn't have fallen down in the natural. They were 100% reliant on God. It requires faith, it requires obedience and endurance. 13 times does require endurance. Probably lots of people be very happy the first time around, maybe the second, but the time comes the third, it becomes repetitive. Why are you doing this? Yeah? 13 times they had to do it. It took 7 days. So, given that it took 7 days, it would have included the Sabbath, right? Because it took 7 days. And on the Sabbath, they were required to do no work. So the commandments of the Lord must have messed up their theology. It would have messed with their tradition and what they were used to. It would have messed them up. This is not how we normally do things, okay? But they didn't. They were obedient. And then we get to verse 20, if you could put that up, please. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Here we see, it comes to pass exactly as God had said it would do. They fulfilled their piece. God said, go and take it. This is how you do it. You walk around. They followed the instructions exactly, and so the walls came down. It's all about taking territory. Every move that we make, when we go out on the streets, when we preach the gospel, it's about taking territory for the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, this was physical. They were actually fighting and they were eliminating the leftovers of the giants and those that were no longer 100% human because of the corruption that had come from the fallen angels. So it was a completely different story, but spiritually, it applies to us. in the spiritual sense of taking territory for the kingdom of God. And so we are learning as a body of believers that the Lord is very precise where he wants us to be and where he wants us to go. It's not arbitrary. It's not like, oh, I really fancy that place over there because it has a nice park, or this place has a nice street. No, God is very precise where he wants his people to be, because it's about taking territory. And when the Lord told us, you're slightly off center, I want you to move central, because I want you to bring God order. And then he told us, I want you to be into extended worship. Why do we think that is? Because worship brings the presence of God and the glory of God. It changes atmosphere.
Come on.
It changes things in the spirit world. We may not see it with our natural eyes, but it changes the atmosphere. It changes things for the kingdom of God. So it's important for us to walk where he tells us to walk, even if it means walking around 13 times. Let's just do it. You are an amazing group of believers. You are full of faith. I've not heard a single grumble about the walking around that we've done this year. I've not heard a single grumble. Why? Because you're people of faith. You've embraced the vision and you've embraced the word of God. So we are in unity as we walk around and take Livingston as he's commanded us to do. Did Jesus not in Luke 19:13 say that we are to occupy until he comes back?
Yeah.
We are to occupy. How do you occupy? By where you put your feet, he gives you the land.
Yeah.
This is so important. It's important to God. Way back as a church, we were limiting ourselves to Craig's Hill because of the history, etc. But then God said, no, your vision is too small. I've given you all of Livingston. And so we moved. And so God blessed. As we went, God has been blessing us. And we are now at the brink of something really new, because the people of Livingston are actually hungry for truth. They're hungry for true God encounter. There's something deep inside that only God can satisfy, and people will continue to search until they find. And it's only by the Spirit of the living God. The Lord told us we were to bring God order into the places, into the center. God order. So the nightclub is no more. It's a care home instead. That is God order. That is God order. So what did they bring with them? What did God tell them to take as they walked around the 13 times? Two things they brought. The Ark of the Covenant and their instruments. The Ark of the Covenant. The promise. The promises and the faithfulness of our God. Representing the presence of God. The presence. When the presence of God comes, even the hardest of souls will melt. The presence of God changes everything. They were actually carrying the stone tablets, but God had spoken the law of God. And on the Ark of the Covenant, you have the mercy seat pointing us to Jesus. There is a mercy seat. There's a place of mercy where someone has paid the price for our sin. That's what we carry. That's what we take with us. His word, his faithfulness, his guidance. And then they carry that instrument, the worship, the praise. I want us to look at a second scripture. This is the second important scripture this morning, from Psalm 149, verses 6 to 9. Let the praises of God be in their mouths, and a sharp sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings the shackles and the leaders with iron chains to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here we see the power of praise in spiritual warfare. They were to take the instruments. This is a representation. It was the shofar. It is representing praise and worship. So we take the word of God, what God has told us, what is in the Bible, and the words, the prophetic words he's given us, and then we add in our praise and our worship. This is why he's told us extended worship. Extended worship. That is how you win the battle. That's how we win the battle. That is how we take Livingstone for the kingdom of our God, along with the other believers in this town. We are called to extended worship. We celebrate that our worship is no longer just for the four walls, but it's for the town, it's for the people out there, and it's changing atmospheres. That's what the scripture says, bind the kings with shackles. We can bind the enemy. We can bind the deception over people's minds with the worship and with the praise. The people out there, so many are deceived by the enemy. They think there is no hope. But as we worship, we are binding the enemy. You see that? That's what the scripture says. It may feel like we're walking in circles. It may feel like, but if that God-ordained circle, it's a glorious thing. And we will fulfill the destiny that God has given us. You know, when it comes to our location, we are really following the principles in Luke 11:9. It's the ask, seek, and knock principle. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We would start off, and we've done the asking the Lord where you want us to be. And then he started to give us some clues. And so we were seeking, where is this place? And then God revealed, what is the place? And now this year we've been doing some knocking. And we are still knocking, but we are on the last phase. We are in the last phase of knocking. We've got this 13 times around. It feels like it's a long journey, but God's word will surely come to pass. Amen. Because of who he is. It's not because of us. We just have to be obedient. We just have to go like the Israelites. He does the supernatural, that which we cannot do. Praise God. How glorious it is in the kingdom of God. So let's summarize the strategies for pulling down the walls. Obedience to the divine instructions. Whatever God tells you, be obedient. Don't let your natural mind say, oh, it's kind of silly. Ignore that. Just ignore that. We want to be obedient. Number two, persistent faith and patience. 13 times around. So that takes patience. Hebrews 11:30 says, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. By faith. We walk by faith. Number three, spiritual warfare and prayer. Spiritual warfare and prayer. Some walls will only fall through intense spiritual warfare. And you just keep pressing in until it happens. 2 Corinthians 10:4. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Praise God. And the last point, prophetic praise and shouting. Praise can trigger divine intervention and breakthrough, as we read in Psalm 149. In the New Testament, we have the wonderful example of Paul and Silas, right? Don't forget that wonderful example you can show in Acts 16 verses 25 and 26. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. That's the supernatural now. And the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open. That's supernatural. And the chains of every prisoner fell off. That was supernatural. They were in praise and in worship. This is not just in the Old Testament. There it is in the New Testament. So let us be being filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would worship at that level, that the chains will start to fall off the people of Livingston, that they will have their eyes open. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. So glorious, so glorious. We're looking forward to what God has for us in the new year. In January, there is an initiative called Turn the Battle, with 3 days of prayer and fasting. It's a grassroots initiative scheduled for the January 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And the AOG that we are part of, I'm encouraging all of our churches to join in. But there's lots of denominations and prayer movements, people joining in. Why? Because we believe it's not too late for Great Britain. If we, God's people, humble ourselves and pray, God is the one to come and heal the land. It can still happen. It has been prophesied. It is the will of the Father. We align ourselves with the will of the Father for this nation, for this town, for every area, whichever environment you're working in. It's not too late.
Come on.
You are there for a purpose. You are carrier of the presence of God. So we can all join. You can join whichever level is suitable for you in praying and fasting. As we pray, God will change things for this nation. We are seeing little things happening, but oh, we are looking for so much more. We cannot be satisfied with what we've seen. We want more. Heaven is waiting on us. They're cheering us on. I'll be sending out the link to the WhatsApp group, so we can join with them. Let's give thanks to the Lord for what He has done for us in 25. And let's look with great expectation what He will do in 26. Amen.